Welcome back. It is July 11th, season 2, episode 52, last one of the season. Brian and Pete here with you. How was the 4th of July? Let's start with that. It's we haven't been on together in quite a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit. Vacations all throughout the end of June and July here.
Right. How'd it go? How was the most patriotic weekend of the year?
It was exactly how you'd think it would go. Just day drinking, beautiful weather.
Out on the fireworks. Boat.
Yeah, fireworks, of course. We have, especially for our fireworks show, we have a POW come out and blow off like $8,000 worth of fireworks at the middle of our lake. So we kind of have a special one.
Love it. Love it.
Great.
So yeah, that is the 4th of July recap very quickly, but we'll get into it with the least American sport again, soccer. There were three left, and then there were three. France beats Belgium today. Tuesday, as we're recording, yesterday, if you're listening, 1-0. And England, Croatia, it's an all-Europe Final Four, all-Europe final, obviously. The English are getting pretty cocky for a country who hasn't won since 1966. They are really feeling themselves. Croatia has played well. They struggled in their last match, getting the win over Russia in penalties, but a win's a win's a win. And at this point, got to be a toss-up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any names on Croatia, so I keep leaning
Luka Doncic. Towards...
True, that's the fair point. And Zach Lowe is also Croatian, so, you know.
Their captain is actually Luka Modric.
Oh, really?
Pretty close, yeah.
There we go.
That's all you really need to know.
Do, like, anything with an itch, I'm just going to toss it in there. But, you know, do you blame the English people, fans for getting a little bit too rowdy right now and cocky? I kind of enjoy it because I know that it's going to come crashing down.
Yeah.
It's going to be all that much more enjoyable.
That's the thing. I had Belgium winning from the jump. It today sucked because I actually like a couple of the players. They're some of my favorites since the retirement of Didier Drogba, you know, because I'm a soccer fan. But... I thought Belgium would win. I think they're class, as soccer people would say. The lads are class, and I think they're better. I thought they were the best team left in the tournament. France obviously has a ton of talent with, you know, Mbappe, Griezmann, Pogba, all those guys throughout their lineup. But it feels like since France won, you know, the winner of France-Belgium was going to be the favorite in the final, no matter who it was. England has had the easiest knockout stage to go through. Like, they didn't have to play Spain. They didn't have to play anyone of note. And here they are chilling in the semifinals playing Croatia, who's played well, but they're not, you know, world beaters or anything by anything like that.
No, and I can already predict the World Cup headlines after England gets knocked out, all the Brexit lines are going to be plastered across every newspaper.
I'm sure that's what we're all looking forward to. But England, I mean, it's fun to watch because they go so nuts when they win. Those videos are unbelievable. At the same time, though, like you said, it feels like it's just setting up for a huge letdown and a huge failure.
Brian, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think the absence of the United States in this tournament has decreased or increased interest? Because
increased
what I've seen, I think it's increased. Because I think it gives the people the opportunity to just latch on to any team they want.
Yeah.
And not just be consigned to, I don't know if that's the right way I use that, to,
sure. Sounds right.
to a U.S. team that they knew probably wouldn't even make it to the knockout round.
Right.
And so they can attach themselves. They could become fans of an actual, like, good team that has a chance and make it interesting.
I agree with that completely. And it's honestly been one of the most exciting or best World Cups that I can remember. Not that that means much, but it's been a lot of fun. Like, these games are something that even casual people can sit down and watch, and they've been entertaining because I believe there's been 0-0 ties or draws, I guess 0-0 draws, I should say, if we're going to stick with the jargon, but
with the nomenclature,
yes, as the lads would call it. But that, I mean, I think that's important. I also think like the star power that's been on display and like the players, big players losing early and these storylines of Iceland's the smallest country in the world to ever qualify. And, you know, Croatia's played such a team game and England hasn't been here since 1966. And, you know, France has a 19-year-old stud on their hands, all sorts of stuff like this are playing a huge role in it. And then obviously the host Russia making an improbable run with one of the largest upsets in the history of soccer over Spain in the first knockout game. So it's crazy. The tournament as a whole, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And I think that in like going hand in hand with the fact that the US isn't in and we don't have to be tied to a shitty team has really helped.
Yeah. And I also think the fact that being played in Russia in that time zone, giving us, it kind of gave us a March Madness feel.
Yep.
Big time. You feel guilty, like, you know, like a guilty pleasure getting to watch it, a soccer, like a huge game at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. That's a big thing too. Like you said, it's not competing with anything. So it's not like we're missing any sort of important activities that are going on.
No, it's perfect timing.
Yeah. And not only that, it, like you said, it gives you the allure of like, oh, you guys watching the game while you're at work or wherever mm-hmm. it is, you know, like you can go to lunch at work and the game will be on and you have something to watch for the next however long it takes for you to eat. I mean, the timings work great. It's one of those things that, you know, you're going to miss it when it's gone for sure.
Yeah. And I also think that, I think this uniquely has a welcoming atmosphere online to people who are ignorant
yeah.
of the sport, i.e. myself and many Americans. Because mm-hmm. like you see for so many, like for NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, NFL playoffs, the casual fans who are like, they're going to get in arguments with the hardcore people who have been watching all season.
Right.
It's just going to get nasty.
Right.
But like, I feel like everyone online, the people who are have no clue what's going on, will ask, people who know will politely respond saying mm-hmm. why this is the case. And it's just like one of the only times you ever see like polite discourse on the internet.
Yeah. And I think a big thing in that is people aren't afraid to admit they don't know what's going True. On in soccer.
Yep.
When if it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be in American sports, they're like, you should know this already. How do you not know yeah. this? Like where were you raised? Blah, blah, blah.
It's like being being so far behind in a class that you're afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, exactly. Or like they're two slides ahead and you're still writing the one, or you're still writing notes from the earlier one and you don't want to raise your hand to go back.
Just shame. So much shame.
Yeah, but switching gears to the pastime of this great nation, baseball. The All-Star game is right around the corner. The All-Star teams have been announced. There are a few representatives from our teams, Jose Abreu from the Sox, Avi Baez, we got Bryce Harper, another Cub.
God damn it.
Yes.
I was going to let that slide for a second, and I was like, just wait a minute.
Yep. Wilson Contreras made the All-Star game as well. John Lester. Who else from the Sox? Who am I missing?
I didn't hear anyone else for the Sox.
Oh, Chris Sale.
Of course.
Yes.
You know, Avi was obviously a snub.
Big time.
Of course.
The injury problems, those hurt. The real snub, obviously, Snell from the Rays, 2.08 ERA, and somehow doesn't get into the All-Star game. Absolute banana land.
He's not on the write-in card either.
Correct. This is my problem with baseball, and this is the problem with going after baseball, because the fans, like we were just talking about, the fans of baseball will be like, oh, well, this is how it should be. You know, real fans who watch the game should be able to vote these players in. It's like, shut up. You can vote 25 times a day. What is the point of that?
Yeah, you're just going to get bots who just overload for certain.
Right.
Or not even, or just like fans who are
fucking losers. That's what you're getting.
Yeah, fanboys who have the time to do this and will vote in just whoever they please.
And they're the same people that on Twitter are doing like the hashtag vote Avi or vote whoever it is 60 times or however many the characters allow.
Mm-hmm.
Pain in the ass. But I'm actually excited. I love All-Star Weekend or whatever they, you know, have going for them. Home Run Derby is always fun. The celebrity softball game is great. Like there's so much fun activity, lack of a better term.
Yeah, the celebrity softball game doesn't get as much credit as it should. I think that's really so entertaining.
Yeah.
I also think it's that we're from Chicago and softball is very prevalent that softball we relate to it. Yeah, if they played 16-inch, then Chicago would be all over it.
Yeah. But it's definitely something like it's appointment television. I will sit down. It also helps that there's really nothing else going on, but it's something that I will cross time off and make sure I get to sit down and watch both the Home Run Derby and the, you know, celebrity game.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, I don't even know if there's any like one aspect of the All-Star Weekend that I don't like truly enjoy watching.
There isn't. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, these guys have busted their ass for, what, 80-some games, almost 90. They're coming into the home stretch. Like, August is tough. September is when things really get going. You can expand the roster to 40. So, you know, teams that are in, guys don't have to play every day. But it's, like, a nice week for everyone to just take a breath and say, holy shit, we're through this far in the season already.
Yeah, and I think since – when did they change the rule that the All-Star game doesn't count for the World Series? That started last year?
I think last year. I don't know for sure.
I feel like we're going to start seeing managers do really weird shit to start to tinker with stuff because they know that it doesn't count for anything and we're a year out from that. And I feel like they more have the freedom to just do whatever and I guess pull off some shenanigans for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I, for one, will say I'm very happy that Joe Maddon is not the manager of the NL because he would be doing some just outrageous stuff.
Do you think?
Oh, I'd be remiss also if I didn't mention that Albert Almora, our guy, is an absolute snub from the All-Star game and the write-in. Truly a joke. Guy's hitting over 320.
Every damn day is Sergio.
Every damn day.
I feel like this is in like 15 years, we're going to look back. And the All-Star game is going to become something like the NBA All-Star game where the score is like 35 to 28.
That would actually be pretty fun.
That'd be pretty sick. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't hate it. It's more like, I don't know if I'd rather see like a truly competitive game, but one that counts for something that no World Series team really had a say in, or just an absolute slugfest and like throwing infielders to pitch.
Yeah. The worst is when it's like a 1-1 game going into the eighth, and then you get every closer that's on the roster because that's the only pitcher, like the relief pitchers that people know that got voted in. So then it's like you've got shutdown guys throwing three outs at a time.
It is kind of like watching the radar gun though with those guys.
Yeah.
Because if they know they're only throwing against one hitter, everyone's going to be throwing over 100.
Truly fun to watch. Like there's so much that goes on during the All-Star game that really doesn't get talked about. And I don't know. It's just a blast. It's always something to look forward to. With that, we'll move on to another thing that some of us look forward to. It's Summer League. I've watched a ton of ridiculous amount of summer league lately, and the Bulls are in trouble here. They are about to start 1-2. They trail as we're speaking by 6 to the Atlanta Hawks with about 7 minutes left. Hopefully they can pull it out, but big story, Wendell Carter Jr., block machine.
I've seen those highlights. They look awesome.
Yeah, he has been really solid on the defensive end. Granted, it's summer league. Rebounding hasn't been great. Bulls cut the lead to 5 here. His scoring has been decent. It obviously needs some improvement, but you can't be upset at his production. What you can be upset at is Chandler Hutchison has been very underwhelming. Dante Ingram, for some reason, is getting starts in the summer league roster. Hasn't done anything. Kaiser Gates today has 14 points in his first action in summer league. So maybe a diamond in the rough there, but the big story for the Bulls has been Antonio Blakeney and Wendell Carter Jr.
Well, and Tony Blakeney is no stranger to the D League and has been putting up like 40-point games for years now, it seems.
Yes. Yeah, he feels like a guy that's been around for about 12 years, and in reality, I think this is his third year in the league. But he's there, Archie's there. Like, this is a team that should legitimately be winning Summer League Championship. Maybe Sacramento can put up a fight with them, or Phoenix, because they've just got so many young, like, top picks. But the Bulls should be rolling through teams.
Yeah, and going back to Wendell Carter, I don't think he does. Even if the scoring's not there yet, Markkanen's going to pick it all up. He doesn't need to do anything necessarily.
Right.
But he's looked way more athletic. As a guy who watched zero of him in college, he's way more athletic than I just thought of him, just with no evidence.
That's good to know. I will say that I didn't think he was as defensively capable as he is. I thought that he was more of an offensive guy that had the body, could rebound a little bit, maybe block a shot or two here or there. Didn't expect anything like this. But if he can block, you know, over a shot per game, that's money right there. I mean, as a rookie, that's all the Bulls can ask for.
And coming from the center position, having him and Laurie, who can very confidently both stroke the three, and having Wendell being able to like block shots like he's been doing right now, that's all you can ask for.
Just right,
pick and roll, block shots, be able to be a threat in the 3-point line, and you're golden.
Yeah, so that's kind of the setup going in. The Bulls, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think they're going to be a playoff team, whether we like it or not. That's just how bad the East is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think they're a playoff team. It's been an interesting summer league. Malik Monk's averaging 23 points a game. Trayvon Blue at 21. Ante Zizic over 20. But that's because Cleveland, all they've done is just feed him the ball. I feel like he's taken 70% of the team's shots.
He's the gem of the Kyrie trade.
Yes. He will probably end up winning. Him or Monk will probably end up winning the MVP. But a guy to look out for.
I heard Monk broke his thumb.
Uh-oh. Breaking news.
Yeah, as of I think maybe today or yesterday, I've heard he broke his thumb. Maybe that's, you know. I don't know.
Did not catch up with, I'll be honest, I did not catch up with last night's games, and I'm just currently flipping through everything right now. I haven't seen anything, but that would be devastating for Charlotte, at least.
I think he might be glued to not a great start for his career in Charlotte.
No, definitely not. The guy that I've noticed that has really turned my head is Harry Giles. He's looked really good for Sacramento. He has an unbelievable mid-range jumper that he hits with consistency. He can bang down low, rebounds the ball well. He just needs to learn, play a little stronger defense, and that's, I mean, he's got to bulk up. I think he's like 19 years old, so he's got some time, but this is a guy that barely played at Duke because of injuries. He's had three different knee surgeries since 2014 and still looks incredibly explosive.
Yeah, I'm going to temper my expectations because I don't know what, like, Kings player development is, I think, leaps and bounds below the rest of the league.
It's Vlade putting them on a treadmill with them, like, just chain smoking cigarettes.
Just pulling marble lights out. Yep. Just filled marble lights in the treadmill, just pulling them out as they go.
They do 10-mile runs
lungs.
Yeah, every even numbered mile, they turn it on an incline and then give them a pack of Marlboro Reds to just start smoking.
And they only run in Adidas tracksuits.
Of course. They're sponsored. But yeah, Summer League's actually been a lot of fun. I think this is the first year ever that every team has participated. So I think it's 5 games guaranteed, and then they go to the playoff format. So should be interesting to see how this all shakes out. A lot of rookies getting some time, some sitting out with air quote injuries. I know Marvin Bagley sat because he had like a strained hamstring or something very minor, but they didn't want to take any risks. And that's just how it works.
For Summer League, it's really like, it makes you appreciate the product of the NBA in a regular season and playoffs like on a day-to-day basis, because you realize how quickly even the most talented players in the world can devolve into just shit games.
So Seton Hall is a guy on the Pistons in Summer League right now. And so I was watching Pistons and Pacers, maybe. It was 14-6 at the end of the first quarter. Like, it was legitimately some of the worst basketball I'd ever watched in my life.
Like, I feel like we should give NBA credits or NBA coaches way more credit now after seeing just the debacles that go on in some of these summer league games.
Yeah. All that being said, I would love to go to summer league.
Oh, for sure. I can't even imagine the shit talking these guys. They're all competing for NBA roster spots. Like, yeah. Just completely cutthroat.
It looks like a blast. And I mean, the setup there is awesome.
There should be a Hard Knocks version of NBA Summer League.
That trademarked. We're trademarking that idea now.
It's the second Hard Knocks spinoff idea we've had in a month.
Just go through every sport and make a Hard Knocks.
Oh, I'm trying to think of any other.
All right. That is Summer League talk. Do you have anything else from the NBA?
Oh, I just want to get you going on Melo for a few minutes.
Oh, yes. Okay. This guy may as well retire. May as well retire. There's no point in him trying to make a roster. Houston signs him. They're making their team significantly worse. They lost Mba Amute and Trevor Ariza. Yeah. That is four. Those two guys equal about 4 to 5 times what Melo can give you.
And on top of this, I think so. Just in the background of all this Melo stuff going on with the Rockets, which I think is a terrible idea, and it just basically Chris Paul being good friends with Melo,
right?
But in the background of all this is Clint Capella, a much more important player for the Rockets. They're about $40 million off in contract negotiations, and it looks like he might be taking the qualifying offer, which would screw the Rockets for next season.
Yeah.
They're in
trouble. That's all I can say. The Rockets are in a really bad place in terms of money, especially like as is, they're already in trouble. Clint Capella's situation makes it significantly worse. Even thinking about Carmelo Anthony makes it infinitely worse. Like there is no worse step you can take than that. Maybe taking on Evan Turner and Timofey Mozgov's contracts. That's the only other step I could think of.
Like, can you imagine just a Rockets offensive possession that goes 15 seconds of James Harden crossovers, pass to Melo, jab step for 12 or for 10, and it's just a shot clock violation? Like, I could see that happening like a few times a game.
Yeah, he'll do the double jab step and then get into his he'll start backing down his defender on the baseline for the baseline jumper and not realize the shot clock went off 4 seconds ago.
I feel like he's going to be more encouraged to just do jab steps for an entire possession because he sees Harden do his crossovers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, same thing, same deal.
Look, he's got the green light, I've got the green light. That's how it works. I guess we should also mention the Bulls matching Zach LaVine. 4 years, $78 million. Thoughts?
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, Brian.
I don't like it either.
Well, why did you know? Yes, the Garpax. Garpax should have taken one look at who made him that offer. Saw it was the Kings and been like, all right, this is, I don't care what you thought previously about what you're going to pay him. The fact that the Kings were willing to pay him this means it's a bad deal.
If Sacramento, I'm going to write the art of the deal for the NBA, and it's just going to be every chapter is, if Sacramento thinks this is a good idea, you don't do it.
Avoid.
If Golden State is trying to trade you cash considerations for a second round pick, you don't do it. Because chances are they like the guy that you've got and you're not going to get a good end of the deal. However, cash considerations jersey will be up in the rafters with Michael Jordan.
And
just that number 3.5 up there.
At the same time, we are below the salary cap floor.
Significantly.
We honestly, outside of this contract and Felicio's contract, and this contract might not even turn out to be bad, but we don't have really much garbage on the books.
Which is crazy because before he signed, Felicio was the most expensive player at like $9.5 million a year.
Yeah, so us Bulls fans are going to overreact to us paying $20 million to a guy to another guy who tore his ACL and was known for his athleticism. You know,
get it? It's like you could have had $65 million in cap space, like plenty of room to work with. Just sign a bunch of guys to one-year deals, fill up that roster spot, or take on a bad contract in a trade. That's what they should have been trying to do this entire time. Go to any team that's looking to get rid of a bad contract. Tell them, yeah, we'll do it for a first-round pick.
Hopefully, I'm guessing that they're going to do that. They still have room to do that throughout the season. I'm guessing someone who wants to get off a bad contract, like around the deadline, is going to do this with the Bulls. I'm hoping that they use their space for something valuable.
They won't, but yeah, that's the hope.
But yeah, LaVine is a guy who can make he makes good like contested threes. He is good for a few flashy dunks, but his defensive IQ is just through the floor.
Yeah,
and he is a ball stopper. And Chris Dunn also needs the ball a lot, who I like as a young point guard. But
the Bulls apparently don't.
Let's see if Fred can work his magic. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've renounced my fandom of the Bulls, meaning I won't watch the two games a year that I usually watch. I'm officially on the Clippers bandwagon. They got my guys.
Okay.
So that is
Austin Rivers leaves, you jump on.
Yep. Austin Rivers out, Angel Delgado in. That's all I needed. We will move on to our top five. It is places or situations to yell Kobe.
Yeah, just everyday life when you just toss something into a garbage can.
Obviously, all these situations are throwing. So, well, not all of them, but the idea is when you would yell Kobe. So I'll let you go first.
First one, anytime in grade school, just tossing a piece of paper across the room.
Yes.
Bonus points if you're in the opposite corner, just launching it.
Just a heave. That's nowhere close, but it's fun.
Second one, just any shot you can make using a fan, like that old app, that app.
Yeah.
I forget what it was called.
I don't remember either, but it had the fan blowing in the direction and you had to flick the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Number three, toss this might be a picky eater thing, but tossing out a shitty part of your lunch you don't want to eat.
No, I think it's relatable.
Yeah, just like, oh, mom packed me fucking carrots. Just launch it.
Kobe.
Finishing this is such a corporate cube life thing to say, but like finishing a snack at work and instead of doing the garbage can below your desk, you go for the one like down your aisle next to the printer.
Oh, yes. I actually, my old office, I had a garbage can like right in the door, and people, every time they'd walk by, would try and throw shit in there. They would get up to come past the door to throw stuff away instead of doing it at their cubes.
Adults are just big children. We never grow up.
Yep.
And then number one, shooting into a pool hoop from when you're not in the pool at a party.
Yes. Yes.
You got it. You have to.
Love that list. I'm going to go number five. This felt like the most obvious one, but just in a pickup game with your friends, just pulling up from like half court and yelling it, or taking like a ridiculous hook shot. Any sort of situation where you're actually playing basketball but taking a terrible shot, or even the patented Kobe fadeaway.
Well, you know what? Those two situations you pointed out, the first one is a Jimmer. The second one is a Kareem.
Yes and no. It all depends. It all depends. Like the sky hook, absolutely. You're going Kareem on the sky hook. But if it's like a, you know, just a stupid, just terrible shot, that's when you yell it.
You could pull a terrible shot, just pull a Melo. I mean,
I'm gonna start.
I don't know if we want to give him the satisfaction though.
Just straight bricks the whole time.
If you have the intention of completely missing the shot.
Yes, I'm going up there just totally, totally off the side of the backboard. Number four is any sort of drinking game that involves shooting it into a cup. So beer pong obviously works there, but Kobe. Number three, this is an old school one, but when you throw, like when you went through the tolls and you had to throw the change in the basket. The number two was any laundry hamper, or if you were lucky enough to have the one that had the basketball hoop with the long-ass net that went into the hamper.
Ooh.
And number one is any object that is just obnoxiously large that you're trying to throw something into. So this is kind of like your pool analogy. But like, let's say I'm just trying to throw like the chlorine tablets into the pool. It's obviously a huge open surface. Just yell it as you throw it because you know it's going.
It's in. A gimme.
Yes. Those are our five. There are plenty of others. Let us know yours at LMBF on Twitter. Facebook, Instagram. 15 minutes of game time on the ground.
Brian, I just lost you for like a minute. You want to repeat that?
Neymar spent 14 time on the ground in all of Brazil's final one.
I heard the I actually got physically angry watching that Brazil's team. Brazil's overall was just incredibly dirty. It really pissed me off. And like, I get why casual NBA fans get really pissed off at guys like Harden and Chris Paul and LeBron for flopping. Mm-hmm. Because these soccer players have it perfected. It's an art. And I get so mad.
Yeah. Yep. It's the exact same thing. Soccer and the NBA.
It's frustrating.
What do you have for a stat?
I have Joey Chestnut has officially tied Bill Russell with the most titles in American pro sports history with 11.
What a hero. Not the hero we deserve, but the hero we need.
How does he keep finding ways to improve his score?
I honestly don't know. How does he not puke every single time? I mean, I'm sure he does afterwards, but like, how do you physically handle that? I eat like a hot dog and I'm like, oh my God, I'm sick to my stomach already.
It's such... Did they change the meat they stuff it with? Because there's no chance I would eat that many hot dogs because I'm pretty anti hot dog in general.
Yeah. Only special occasions do I eat hot dogs.
Yeah. Caddy dogs at the caddy yard have turned me off hot dogs for the rest of my life.
That'll do it.
I've stayed away.
Do you have any other stats?
Just that one.
Okay. Move on to tweets. What do you have?
This is from Pacers president Kevin Pritchard on Lance Stephenson leaving to the Lakers. We love Lance on the court. We love Lance off the court. Sometimes he was the best player on our team. Sometimes he's the best player on the other team. We love Lance. We wish him the best.
That is the perfect definition of Lance Stephenson right there.
I mean, like as a fan for Indiana, I would have loved him.
Yeah.
This guy.
Pure energy.
He's a irrational confidence guy, but he plays more than an irrational confidence guy. Like Jamal Crawford, he comes in, he's just gonna, you know, he's gonna throw up a few shots. But Lance would play like starter minutes for Indiana.
It'll be a do or die playoff game with like 4 minutes left, and you're down four, and he'll high step down the floor, dribbling through his legs. Like that is Lance.
Lance, without a second thought, will do a behind the back pass.
Yep. It could be 7 seconds left, like a 2-on-1 fast break. You're down by one, and he will go behind his head, alley-oop off the backboard if he can do it.
He's just the embodiment of if you took a player from NBA streets and just like plopped him right in the NBA.
Absolutely.
He's so Brooklyn, it hurts.
Absolutely. He is the single most Brooklyn player ever, ever.
I mean, Dr. J
was like super street ball, but he wasn't anything to write home about in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Dr. J being that he was a street ball, like he was a legend. I don't know. I'm thinking did Lance play Rucker Park?
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I think like Durant has a claim for that, just casually going in there. But I think, yeah, Lance could be possibly.
Any other tweets?
I do not.
Awesome. I've got a pair earlier this week on Pardon My Take, but I took the picture after the game it happened, so they can fuck off. Harry Maguire just spent 4 hours putting together a flat pack fucking desk lamp. I will seek vengeance on the nation of Sweden in this life or the next. He scored the first goal in the win over Sweden in the World Cup.
Speaking of that, I just bought a dresser from IKEA and I, oh my God, I'm loathing putting this thing together.
Thoughts and prayers for you. Thoughts and prayers.
Thank you.
My other one is from the GOAT, Mike Francesa. He's an unbelievable Twitter follow if you don't follow him already. Maybe after the game, the Mets should have the regulars run around the bases just to get a feel of it. Call it Mr. Met-2018. The Mets stink, in case anyone didn't know, and Mike Francesa will just incessantly pick on them. And that's his whole Twitter feed, is just making jokes about the Mets.
He's a legend. You know, I've never number listened one. To a show a day in my life, but I still like. I know this man's a radio legend.
You know, Tom from Tom Service, how you doing? That is my Mike Francesa.
Just one time.
Yeah. That's all I've got. We'll move on to what we're looking forward to this weekend as we wrap up the show.
Pat Bovard, Nick Anton, and John Hayes, all of LMBF Sports, have the World Wiffle Ball Championships held in Skokie, Illinois.
Beautiful.
We'll be there Saturday all day, hopefully bringing home the hardware for LMBF.
Let's hear it. You guys will be on the Instagram, so definitely check that out at LMBF Sports. Or maybe, no, it's Let Me Be Frank Blog on Instagram, so check that out. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going up to Lake Geneva for the first time in a year. Second time in 2 years. Third time in like 10 years. I haven't been up in forever. It's going to be great. Going to see some old friends, so very excited about that. But as always, you can check us out at letmebefrankblog.com. Got a new post up there about the best college football quarterbacks. So anyone who's missing football season, we're only 46 days away. So get excited about that. And you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at LMBF Sports. Any last words, Pete?
God bless.